You're listening to episode 304 of Women Worldwide. What is trauma? And what do you need to know to handle traumatic experiences? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more.
Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for being here, for tuning in, and for being with us every single week. We appreciate you. This show is dedicated to some of the things that you might be thinking or the feelings that you're having, the anxious, angry, frustrated feelings that are happening right now because of what we see in our world. After all, we're still navigating a global pandemic. We have seen insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. We've had a president impeached twice. And as we navigate a global pandemic, we're still uncertain of what business is going to be like and what's happening in our homes in 2021. Well, who better to talk about feelings and emotions and how these things play out in our behaviors, as well as the behaviors of the people around us, but a trauma psychiatrist. Joining me on the show is Dr. Alana Curry. And Dr. Alana is a board certified trauma psychiatrist. And she is somebody who is out there on TV lately, all the different news programs talking about what is trauma, empathy healing. She believes in skills over pills. She is also someone who has founded an organization called DATRI, that's DATRI.org, which is a place you can go to find cutting edge information on one of the most challenging health issues that we're facing, and that is trauma. Now, I could go on and on about Dr. Alana. I know her well because I have the honor of and privilege of working with her and her team on PR and marketing. So, Dr. Alana, I think it's time that you join the conversation, share your journey and all of your insights. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here, and it's an honor to work with you as well. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Well, it is quite the pleasure. And I know that there is so much to talk about just based on what I shared in this introduction. But I always ask my guests, the very first question is, how did you get to become a trauma psychiatrist?
I became a trauma psychiatrist, what felt like by accident, but was truly just by design, that I had a career that was happily serving at the VA, working with veterans with PTSD and depression, anxiety. You know, I was always just drawn to working with trauma because it was treatable. It was, you know, a condition where we saw people recover and do great things. So it really was my career that led me here, because there's no such thing as a trauma psychiatrist until I created it, because it's a huge hole or a blind spot in the industry, in the mental health industry, in the medical industry, in society, period. So I became a trauma psychiatrist by thousands of hours of working with thousands of patients and recognizing that we actually don't get a great education about the inner workings of our brain and how those, especially the primitive brain systems, affect the way that we think and the way that we feel, and those powerful invisible urges that we have a lot of difficulty controlling. So being a trauma psychiatrist really just came out of the experience that I had and where I just learned from my patients, I think.
Well, Dr. Alana, being a trauma psychiatrist It's interesting because I think that the average person associates trauma with some of the really big, horrible things that happen in your life. And maybe that's the passing of a loved one, or you're involved in a terrible accident. Can you define what trauma is so people can understand it a little bit better?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think there's a lot of misinformation about trauma. And often even the things that you named, people don't realize that those are considered traumatic. But trauma is, we used to think of it as being a really high bar that was set. We have that DSM-5 psychiatry Bible, and the way that it defines things, there's some imaginary bar where something has to be met, like violent war, your physical body has to be hurt or injured. But quite honestly, that's a non-empathetic definition of trauma. Trauma can be invalidation, someone telling you that your experience is not real, or telling you that how you feel is wrong and you should feel or think or be differently. So there's lots of things that cause trauma, and the definition really needs to be based on the internal experience of the individual. So I define trauma as anything that happens internally that is so painful that it changes the way you think about yourself, other people, and or the rest of the world.
It's really good that you define that, because we all need to hear this. What happens? So you talked a little bit about the brain. When you experience trauma at whatever level that is, what happens in your brain? Because it's a science. That's what I'm gathering after working with you. So maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So there is a predictable pattern that happens in your brain when you experience psychological trauma, because our biology is designed to try to protect us. So in particular, you need to know about 6 primitive brain systems that are programmed by psychological trauma. And that can, this psychological trauma can be you fail a test, and then you're telling yourself about this test, I can never do this again, or I'm stupid, or what's wrong with me? I'm not ever going to get into school or the career that I want. So your brain, so the first one that you should know about is your amygdala. Your amygdala is the part of your brain that creates emotions. Here's your amygdala. It's a little bitty bean shaped part of your brain. But with other portions of your brain, your amygdala creates your experience based on what you tell yourself about something, not based on any objective reality. So your internal emotions, or your feelings, because that's different from emotions, but your feelings really start going around and around. So you also have a reticular activating system that's part of your brain that filters information. So then you start looking for the trauma to happen again. Mm-hmm. Your brain starts scanning for it and putting more weight or emphasis on things that may indicate that trauma. So I can go on for days about these brain systems, but really what it comes down to is that those systems get programmed into reading negative things more heavily in your mind, and putting more weight on the negative than the positive. So it's almost like we walk around with this, I call it like a space helmet tint on the world and on other people. And our interpretation matters, because when you're interpreting people as worst possible case scenarios, if that's what you're believing and empowering, that also tends to be what you create.
So, Dr. Alana, this is your toxic thinking. This mm-hmm. is all the ruminating, and I know toxic is an acronym that I would love for you to explain to everybody, but this is that place where trauma is really hurting you mm-hmm. and you want to shift over, and that gets to your empathy. But what is toxic, so people can recognize?
Sure. So I love that you brought up how trauma is hurting you, because that's the third brain system that's important in trauma, the somatosensory cortex. So there's a part of your brain that translates pain. And just like if I'm standing on a hot coal, my foot will send a signal to my brain to go, move your foot. This is hurting us, right? In the same way, we experience pain when people talk to us or when people say words that are painful. We experience pain when we look at the world and we see so many damaging things. You can just open up your news app or turn on your TV and get traumatized by something right now, right? So sure. Our brains are being flooded with fear-based imagery and things that pull our amygdalas and pull our emotions into the negative stuff. So we're conditioned in a society that's full of trauma. We're conditioned into trauma thinking that's toxic, terrorizing, oppressive, exaggerated, intense, and chaotic. So I'll go through each one of those, but that's what toxic means. Terrorizing, oppressive, exaggerated, intense, and chaotic. And you can feel it inside of you. Like that primitive brain, it roars.
Right. And it must be horrible for your body, because let's face it, anything that's going on in your mind is affecting your body.
Absolutely. We have people who are experiencing the effects of a high elevated cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. And that stress hormone comes out when we are experiencing things that make us have to engage in rapid change. Rapid change triggers withdrawal mm-hmm. from our previous behavior patterns. So withdrawal, think about your brain reward system. That's the fourth system that I teach, which is that addiction system. And anything that we do on a regular basis or by habit, like anything that feels good triggers dopamine.
Right.
But some things trigger more dopamine than others. So we have to start looking at ourselves as this biological entity, because think about 7 billion plus creators in primitive, traumatized, toxic mode are going to create exactly what we're experiencing right now. Just hell on earth.
Oh, that's a lot of toxic. It really is. But how does somebody, I mean, this is a lot to take in, the, you know, trying to understand the brain and toxic, but you can, I mean, you stand for, we all know trauma hurts and empathy heals. How do you bridge over?
Yeah. Well, I think the way you bridge over is by choice. You have to actually choose to put that internal work on learning yourself, because you're the only thing that has control over you. No therapist can do it. You can go to your therapy session
right. And
they'll give you some great feedback, great advice. But then if you go back and allow your animal and your primitive thought processes and addictions and other urges to drive your behaviors instead of that the deep wisdom that the therapist gave you, then we still have a problem.
Right.
So I had to recognize that even as a trauma psychiatrist, even as a regular psychiatrist focused in PTSD, doing a damn good job to the best of my ability and knowledge with the tools that they gave me, and it still had me blind to my own traumas and to my own emotional pulls and invisible surges and urges, until I started really thinking about myself as a biological creature that I had to control with skills, right?
That, I mean, each one of us, there's a lot of work to be done, and it is a choice. So rather than... And this gets into some of your skills over pills, rather than being judgmental of the triggers around us, it's the focus inward. Do you want to perhaps talk about some of the skills over pills and maybe the love skill, for example?
Sure. So I'll dive a little bit more into the toxic skill because I think that it leads really well into
sure.
the love skill. So what we have to understand about ourselves is that our brain is interpreting and transmitting the experience that we have to us, and none of our version is fully accurate. None of us. Nobody has the full truth, the full understanding, because you only have access to what your brain and your experiences in this lifetime have given you. And how you interpret things is you, when your brain sees things and pulls information from the environment, you put the subjective labels on it that ways you've been taught to interpret it. So if you're thinking in that toxic way, that terrorizing way, your mind is going to be full of fearful and fear-based words and language, and it's anxiety provoking. That's how you know that you're doing that to yourself. Because remember, your thoughts actually create something inside of yourself. So when you're making these judgments, it does have effect inside of your body. So the T is terrorizing, the O is oppressive. We do so much judging, and we love to say, I'm not judgmental. And I'm like, the human brain is automatically judgmental. We're drawing micro judgments at all times. It's important for us to know that because we know we need to step back a little bit from our own teeny tiny bubble of appreciation. Because think about when you look at another person and you evaluate what's going on with them, you've got about this much information about what's happening, their background, what they've been through
True.
Today, what they went through yesterday, what is happening in their life. Like, we have this much information about each other, a teeny tiny bit based on external factors. So when you're making those judgments, that's a stereotype. It's just your brain filling in the gap of information. So we do a lot of shitting other people.
Yes.
And that creates a lot of pain. They should do this. They should do that.
Take shit out of your vocabulary.
Take shit out of your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unless you're, even when you're thinking about yourself and you're saying, I should be like this, but I'm like that. Think about what that creates inside of you. That's that primitive brain system will create that red sensation. Exaggerate it. Think about how extreme we talk now. He always does this. She never does that. We put these labels on people like right and left wing and mm-hmm. alternative. And, you know, and what all of those words do is take us away from the shared reality, because those extremes are most of the time easily provable. Like if I tell my kids, you never take out the trash correctly. That would be a non-factual statement, and it would create a negative experience inside of a person who knows that sometimes they may do it correctly, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So the intense part of toxic is when we're feeling those internal sensations, they're being provoked because our somatic sensory cortex is being slapped, our amygdala is going off in defense of whatever it is that we're thinking or what we're experiencing.
Right. The amygdala is driving the bus.
Exactly. So all of those internal sensations, when you feel that gas pedal, that's when you got to know, like, ooh, hold on. My animal is about to
put a leash on that animal.
My animal is about to write this script for me.
Yeah.
And we also have so many thoughts that chaotic, see, so many thoughts going on in our brains that, you know, we think thousands of thoughts per day, but we're not taught to sit down and think about what am I thinking?
Right. Because, to be an observer, right?
Yeah.
To be more an observer of the thought or the feeling.
Exactly. So things like meditation and mindfulness skills, a lot of times people don't even get those seriously until they are in what we would consider the worst of their mental health symptoms and suicidal and all these other things. But imagine what it would be like if we all were taught, like, that's a part of a human function that we know can be helpful, and we all can practice it. Kids can practice it. It will help with behaviors in school. Teachers can practice it. Parents can practice it. It would help the whole world if we were doing it.
Yes.
But we're still under the cloud of racism, where we kind of divide up other people's stuff, and we don't like to give as much credit to, you know, other cultures and Eastern cultures. But this is just a human fact.
Right. Finding the oneness in us all.
Exactly. So that is what leads to love. The funny thing about it is that in this process, I realized that we're all functioning out of love, or what we think is love is dysfunctional. You know, I'm trying not to cuss.
It's okay if you let one slip.
Okay. All right. Good. Because I, you know, I do like, I have been also known as the cussing psychiatrist. But, you know, the reality is that even people that we don't understand, that we don't agree with, that we just cannot get why they do what they do, they're operating in love of something. And they're operating in love of someone.
Yes.
And in their mind, they think that what they're doing is to save whatever it is that they love.
Because they have a different movie that's playing out based on all of their perceptions.
There you go.
Yes.
So what we have not learned as a society is how to have balanced thinking. We do a lot of primitive thinking that something is either or, you know, that it's our founding fathers. They were great. They did some great things. They created an amazing plan that has led to a truly amazing country and world, right? And not or, and they did some things. They had some cultures and some ways that damaged a lot of people and were extremely dysfunctional, but they were primitive, just like we're primitive. And they were doing it based on their programming and biology. And we're doing the same thing until we stop and wake up and actually start operating with love and empathy and sort of reconnect to the shared picture that we all really exist in. That's the actual reality. My version of reality and yours are going to be different. This, even in this conversation.
Sure.
Because we're referencing different thought processes and memories, where we have slightly different definition of certain words. So it's important for us to start operating with the invisible parts of ourselves directly in mind.
Absolutely. So you did mention love.
Yes.
Do you want to break that one down?
My favorite skills. Well, I like all of the skills, but the love skill is just choosing to use empathy. And the L is listen and look with suspended judgment. We're going to put we know you think you know,
right.
But put that version to the side for a second. O, observe the emotions in yourself and the other person. So put words to the emotions. I am feeling anxious. I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling angry. Always look deeper. Anger is the umbrella emotion. So if you hit anger, there's other things. I'm feeling jealous. I'm feeling disgusted. I'm feeling abandoned.
Rather than you did this, why did you do that?
Exactly.
About you?
Yeah. So identify what's in your body, because you have to control this, but also identify what's going on in them.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be obvious because we're taught to hide our emotions.
Yeah.
Or we're taught that most of the time when we express them, it's in anger. So it's not our most effective wording. So really looking at each other, and I boil it down to red or green. I wish I had my little card.
Right.
Yeah. Red or green. It's really only two modes, love and fear.
Yes.
The love emotions that create green, healthy feelings, and the red emotions that create negative, angry, fearful, negative results. Okay. So the O in observing your emotions is important because this is the hidden communication that we have been basically ignoring. Okay. The V is validate the perspective of the other person. Acknowledge that even if you do not agree with the other person.
This is a great point.
Like, you don't have to agree.
You don't have to agree.
No, you just can go, I can see where your version is coming from. Mama, papa, whoever, whatever figures around you that you listen to, whatever news channels that you consume or are addicted to, that's where you're coming from with your information. And it's just as valid to you as mine to me.
That is your truth.
There it is. But then E is express yourself skillfully, creator. And the reason that I tacked that creator on there is because everybody needs to understand that they're a creator. That's your purpose. That's your default is you're creating stuff. Even if you're doing absolutely nothing, you're still doing something.
You're a creator.
Right.
Well, the love skill is definitely one of my favorites as well. Dr. Alana, I can't even believe that I'm going to ask you this parting question. Time just flies.
It does.
It sure does. So what would you like to share with the Women Worldwide Network as your parting advice around trauma hurts and empathy heals?
Yeah. I chose that slogan because I like to get to problems and solutions real quick. And I do think that now that we are at the point where we're discussing trauma, it's so important to understand that it is treatable. It is based on beliefs and what you tell yourself about the things that you've gone through in your life defines how you move forward in anything. So trauma being a belief-based condition means that you can work on what you tell yourself. You can work on what you believe. You can reprogram negative thinking, traumatized thinking, primitive thinking. All of us can update how we talk to ourselves and talk to other people. So that's what I would say. Do the work.
Great insight and advice. Thank you so much. Last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
So they can go to DrAlana.com, that's my website. And they also can find that there, the Trauma Recovery Institute, where they can sign up to learn more about their body, their brain, and how it affects their behavior. And I'm also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You can search that. You can put in Dr. Alana, DrAlauna, on any of those and find more.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing all about what's going on in our brains and how to manage those emotions and the emotions of the people around us. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you to all of you for tuning in. Please keep the conversations going and the feedback coming. And of course, if you want to sign up for updates, you can go to the Women Worldwide website at womenworldwideshow.com. Okay, friends, until our next episode, be safe, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.